From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Winter, more than any other season, seems to have its own soundtrack, that nonstop loop of Christmas tunes you hear in every store you walk into. But by the time you reach Christmas week, some people have reached their limit with music that sounds like this.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
That's why we've asked our music critic, Tom Moon, to help us find some non-holiday musical selections that are still appropriate for this time of the year. We'll call it our wintry mix. Tom is the author of 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. And Tom, it's great to speak to you again. What do you have for us?
I have a bunch of stuff that sort of counters the exuberance of the holiday carols, music that sort of brings you into a more introspective place.
Oh, no, you're not going to bring us down, are you?
I hope not.
Okay. Well, I have your list of selections here, and I want to begin right at the top. You have a song here by Dolly Parton. It's called The Coat of Many Colors, and it's a song that comes with a wonderful story.
Dolly Parton was one of 12 children. She grew up in a house, a small house in Tennessee, where there was not a lot of money. And she writes this song about how her mother made her a coat. And it was made out of rags, and it was not exactly the most glamorous thing you could wear. But to her, this meant a lot. And, of course, it was the warmth of her mother's love, not the material.
My coat of many colors that my mama made. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me.
You know, in the winter, we all need shelter, particularly if you're in a colder place. And that's what you hear there, is a song about finding shelter.
Yeah, and being sort of embraced by love, and the fact that she was carrying around this coat and wearing it proudly, even though kids at school were making fun of her.
Something she learned there that she probably carried with her the rest of her life.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move down your list, Tom. We now have something classical. It's from Schubert. It's a song cycle called Winter Rest. And before we actually talk about this, why don't we take a listen?
Fremd bin ich eingezogen.
This music makes me want to cry, but I'm afraid that my tears might freeze. It sounds so cold out there.
It's desolate, right?
Yeah, the frozen tundra. What's going on?
Well, this is one of Schubert was the king of art song, and this is one of his cycles. It's called Winter Journey, and it describes a poet who's learned that his beloved no longer loves him. And so he writes the words good night on a piece of paper and leaves her house. His footprints are seen in the snow as he leaves, and the rest of the cycle describes his journey through a wilderness that's covered in snow and him embracing his loneliness, and eventually he dies in the snow.
Ich kann zu meiner Reise nicht wählen mit der Zeit.
All right, well, I'm longing at this point to move on to our next selection. Not that I didn't like that, but I'm just ready for something a little bit more upbeat. So you have a jazzy selection from jazz pianist Bill Evans. It's called Gloria's Step. What's the song all about?
It was a staple of the Bill Evans Trio set in the 1960s. And it sort of has that great wintertime feeling of gliding. It's like you're watching skaters on a pond, and the playing is very clear. Every line is very succinct, and there's no effort in it. It's just completely smooth.
Oh, yeah, I can see the skaters. I can see that in my mind. Since we're we're talking about winter music, why don't we head to Iceland?
Sure, why not? The great Icelandic rock band Sigur Rós has this way of communicating that is unlike anything else in rock. They sort of made up their own language, and they've figured out a way to get the tundra desolation vibe of their native environment into music in a very hip way.
What an interesting contrast, because in the last music that made us think of the tundra, the Schubert, was all about the ground. This sounds to me like the sky.
Yeah, gray sky, lot of open air, and a voice calling across vast expanse of land. Lots of territory in here. And the openness of it is really something else I really associate with winter.
All right, Tom, I know that winter is often cold and the days are short and the nights are long, but sometimes you just need a song, something that makes you think of warm ocean breezes. And for this, you've chosen a song called Miss Tourist.
By the great Lord Kitchener, who is considered the grandmaster of calypso. And his thing was, he was just one of these incredibly buoyant figures, like Louis Armstrong, who could project a lot of animation in his voice. And he just makes a party. You hear him sing, and it's a party.
Jouer, mon, you'll swear that is here she's born. Hole in hand, jumping in a jouer band. When the rhythm hot up the pace, she said, play mass, and shaking she waist. Kitch, will you phone Hotel Normandy and tell them don't leave no breakfast for me? I said,
you know, part of the great thing about winter is anticipating being someplace warm and having a minute, if you can spare it, to sort of thaw out. And calypso music is great for that. And when you hear these guys who were the grandmasters of this style, it's just so assured. It makes you move. You almost can't help it.
Tom, thank you for this wintry mix. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Moon is the author of 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. And Tom has some more suggestions for winter music. You can find those at nprmusic.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. When Paul Simon collaborated with African musicians on his 1986 album Graceland, he was showcasing sounds that seemed strange to many American ears. Other musicians, including Peter Gabriel and Ry Cooder, had similar collaborations in the 1980s and 90s, and today a new generation of American musicians is creating homegrown rock music with a West African twist. Reviewer Banning Air sees a trend in 3 CDs out this year.
Singer-songwriter Marcus James has long traveled to West Africa to compose and record his bluesy songs with local musicians there. After all, blues and rock's African pioneers mostly trace their heritage to the region we now call Senegal, Gambia, and Mali.
What do I know? Do I care?
Marcus James's 5th CD, Snakeskin Violin, treats American and West African roots music as one seamless continuum. For James, to fill out a blues vamp with a Savannah Hunter's harp or a desert calabash rhythm comes as naturally as quoting a John Lee Hooker riff. And after nearly 15 years of refining his approach, James is now getting airplay in places like Lafayette, Louisiana and Austin, Texas.
Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Go the siren song, come on down to Babylon.
Marcus James is a pioneer in reconnecting blues with its deep African DNA, but he's not alone anymore. While James was making his trips to Mali, a musician from Senegal, Gelel Kumba, settled in Oxford, Mississippi, where he co-founded a band called Afrosippi. Starting from the African side of the equation, Kumba finds common ground with American schooled and North Mississippi blues. This is the opening track from Afrosippi's second CD, Alliance. Afrosippi and Marcus James arrived at their Africanized rock formulations after years of experience in more established genres. Meanwhile, five 20-something guys in Asheville, North Carolina, came out of the gate in 2005 as Tubob Crew, Tubob being a West African term for a white person. Most of the players in Tubob Crew have studied music in West Africa, internalizing rhythms, repertoire, melodic language, and even instrumental techniques. Their amped-up take on the music rarely includes any vocals, and it's making big waves on the jam band circuit. Here's Tubob Crew's version of the Malian classic Kaira from their brand-new CD, Live at the Orange Peel. The gyrating fans at Tubob Crew's packed shows probably don't spend much time pondering the Atlantic slave trade and how it infused African ideas into the incubator of American music. That's just the point. Marcus James, Afrosippi, and Tubob Crew are not part of a world music trend, but rather the ongoing emergence of Africa in American mainstream culture. They're cousins of out-and-out pop bands like Vampire Weekend, East African rockers Extra Golden, and other young groups that blend African and American idioms. Using music rather than words, these artists are showing us who we really are. And after all these years, it seems we're ready to listen.
Banning Air is senior editor at Afropop.org. He discussed Snakeskin Violin by Marcus James, Alliance by Afrosippi, and Live at the Orange Peel by Tubob Crew. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
We've got a little music pop quiz for you now. Can you identify this famous voice? Okay, if you haven't guessed, it's Paul McCartney. It's the first track from his new album, Electric Arguments, which is an unusual album for a number of reasons. Each song on it was written and recorded in a single day. 13 songs, 13 days. There's also the fact that McCartney's name doesn't actually appear on the front of the CD jacket. Instead, it says, The Fireman. That's the name McCartney uses when he works with his friend and collaborator Martin Glover, also known simply as Youth. The two of them made a couple of instrumental records together in the 90s, but this new one has songs. A few days ago, Paul McCartney sat down with me in New York City and told me how he and youth started each morning with a blank slate.
I would go into the studio with absolutely no idea. Neither of us had any idea of what the song was going to be, what the lyrics or the melody were, which could be said to be kind of frightening prospect, except I like him. Our collaboration then just became fun, and I would pull some words out of a poetry book, do a cut-up, stick them with some other words, make some other words up that went with them. And suddenly we found ourselves on this kind of exciting trail where, oh, it's a song.
You started writing music when you were, what, a teenager, 16 years old, something like that?
14 I wrote my first song.
So 50 years you've been doing it.
Mm.
Is that what made it possible for you to just pluck it out of the air, do you think?
You're right. As I was doing this improvisational thing, I would start to find myself structuring the lines and thinking, no, that's better there. Oh, this is a chorus. Okay, I'll sing this twice. I'll bring this back in. You start to get all your little tricks of the trade coming in. But it's just so instant. And I think that's what makes this record kind of fresh because of that.
What do you want your collaborator to do? Do you want him to say to you, that's not so good, that's kind of boring?
It's not so much he tells you off or praises you. He has never said to me, that's no good, but he doesn't use it. He just will edit it out.
So
it's kind of nice. It's
like a feeling.
And I know, he's edited my best work. No, you know, I have to trust him. And he'll say to me, oh, just give me a couple of minutes, I'm just going to arrange it. So then I'll go and have a cup of tea or something.
Could you just sort of walk me through the process and tell me, where did you start?
I would come in the morning and we would think of what you might call a groove. It was either whatever, you know, just a feeling of an essence. And I would just listen to it. Sometimes youth had done that. He would just put down a guitar with a little idea, a couple of chords that he liked. So I'll go in and I'll put something on it. I could be in a drum mood, so I go on my drum kit and I'll just put what I think would go with that. And we build it up, gradually layering it. We get it to a point that I then think, or he suggests, let's do a song on it now. Let's have a go at the vocals, he would say. Have a go at some vocals. So then the process was then delving into various books we had lying around. Bit of Phil and Getty, there were poetry anthologies, and I would just actually look for words I thought were beautiful, not necessarily meaningful. So I saw these words, silent lovers. So I'd write that on my pad. I liked the sound of that, silent lovers. What does it mean? Well, it means a lot, and you can take whatever meaning you want. And then the next little line I found was angels smiling. So I put that with silent lovers. So I started singing, silent lovers, angels smiling. And then out of nowhere, I said, don't stop running. Don't stop running. So there was this idea now in my mind of two lovers that the angels were smiling on, but maybe they were either running away from something, or maybe I wanted them just to keep doing what they were doing. But it just sounded like a sort of hopeful chorus.
In this album, there are all kinds of voices that are completely unfamiliar to me.
When the sky is filled up with storms and heavy rain, and trouble starts sliding across the mind, it's hard for me to see which road I've got to take.
You pushed yourself in some strange vocal ways. Why'd you do that?
Well, because the whole essence of Fireman is because the pseudonym allows you to be anything you want to be. We always say Fireman can do anything. When you start in music or in art, I think that's a thing you have anyway. as you do it more, you can get into a bit of a straitjacket. You know, I am Paul of the Beatles. I am Paul McCartney, who makes albums a certain way. So it's very liberating to do that. For instance, one of the things I do a lot in the studio, particularly on Fireman, is goof up. So I can just kind of, hey, all right, you know what's going on, baby. And I use a sort of lower voice. And he said, could you sing a take like that? So I go, yeah, okay. And I sing it very low, and, because the Fireman can do anything.
When you heard it, did you ever find yourself just shocked and surprised at what you had done? And
yeah, you know what? It's very much that kind of album. I'm still listening to it. Somebody quoted the lyrics back to one of the songs the other day, and I thought, wow, is that what I did? Because of the cut-up nature and the assembly of it all, it's so quick that I don't actually know what's in there, so I'm still delving into the album myself.
Great place to end. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The Fireman thanks you.
That's Paul McCartney. His new CD with collaborator Youth is called Electric Arguments. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.
The music of Natasha Atlas is as complex as her personal history. Her father, Egyptian. Her mother, British. She lived in a Moroccan neighborhood in Brussels as a child, but then moved to the UK. You can hear the influence of her background in her music. With her recent release, Anahina, she's recorded a more acoustic and traditional body of work than her previous albums. On this CD, Atlas performs folk songs from across the globe. She remakes songs by legendary Middle Eastern artists like the Lebanese singer Farouz, as well as other surprising sources. Natasha Atlas makes it all her own, and she joins us from the BBC in London. Hello.
Hi.
There's this lush, romantic sound to part of this CD. The first track, I'm going to let you say the name because you say it much better than I do.
Yalur Hubuki.
What was the inspiration?
That was sung by Feyruz, written by the Rahbani brothers, and I've heard their stuff since I was a teenager. So I've always wanted to do some of those old songs.
You've worked with musicians from the Middle East and musicians who've had training in the East and in the West. Where did you get your musical training?
Because of my multicultural background, I've heard Arabic music and also Eastern European music, but Arabic music since I was a kid. And then when I was in Egypt, I did live in Egypt for a little bit. I have a couple of distant uncles out there that are in music, and one of them taught me a little bit about, but just basics about Arabic music. Although you can never stop learning that stuff, it's amazing.
How many languages do you speak?
Well, I speak English, French, Arabic, and a little bit of Spanish, actually. I need to brush up on that. But
of all your languages that you speak, which do you prefer to sing in?
Arabic.
Why?
No question. Because of the style of music that I sing, it sort of lends itself best to that. Arabic is by far the most expressive for me, but that's a personal preference.
The one song that's in English on the CD is called Black is the Color, and it sounds a bit like a folk song. I know there's a Nina Simone version of it as well. Can you tell us the origin of the song and why you chose to put it on the CD?
I do believe it may be a folk song from Appalachia. Although some people have said that it was originally from Scotland, I'm not too sure. I really liked it because, for me, it had a very oldie world feel about it. It felt like you could even do a medieval version of it. It's that open.
Of my true love's hand.
I find a lot of modern songs in English just don't... they're just not romantic enough. They're just a little sort of blasé, you know. And I just fell in love with Nina Simone's version, which is very sort of stark and stripped down.
We're speaking with Natasha Atlas, whose most recent release is Anahina. And Natasha, every review I read of the CD described how it was so much different than your previous work. Do you feel that it is that much different than your previous work, and how is it different?
It's different in that it's not electronic. Most of my previous albums have been sort of based on grooves and electronics and sometimes samples and programming and stuff like that. And this wasn't. This was all violins, double bass, percussion, all organic instruments.
Why that choice to go with only organic instruments?
Well,
mostly?
Just because it just... this wasn't really planned. It was just... I had wanted to sort of do some cover versions of those old songs for a long time, and it's really the only way to do it, because they're songs from the 40s.
There's a track on the CD, which I like especially. It's a reimagined version of a song that you've recorded previously, if I'm correct, Hayata Inta?
Yeah, Hayata Inta.
It's described as, and this is great, great liner note writing, The Doors meets Mingus meets Miss Atlas.
Yeah. What I think that's mainly because of its Sudanese-Nubian feel, because Sudanese and Nubian music are sort of pentatonic in style, and so are African in flavour, and therefore... because they're African in flavour, they're linked to blues. And that's where people will identify it who are from the West. Sudanese and Nubian music are also closely linked to Egypt, because Sudan was a part of Egypt and Nubia.
It's interesting, over the course of our conversation, and I think it's fair to say over the course of your career, your music has, we've talked about Arabic music and African music, Appalachian, British traditional music. Was it a conscious effort on your part to decide, I'm going to fuse all these genres together? Why did you choose to go down that road rather than just sort of concentrate on one?
Well, you know, I don't think anything is that sort of planned out, really. It isn't a conscious effort to go, I'm going to fuse all of this together. It just sort of happens naturally. You know, you do what you do because that's what you do.
During the course of this interview, I feel like we've been on a travelogue. We've talked about Sudan and Egypt. Where do you call home now?
Right now, I'm at a phase in my life where I don't know where home is anymore. I travel so much that it's starting to become a tiresome thing, really. I mean, I find that I spend more time bag-dragging around airports. I do that more than anyone else I know other than my band. But when it comes to having a social life and meeting up with people and having a drink and going for a meal, I don't get the time to do that anymore. Consequently, I don't know where home is anymore.
Natasha Atlas, we thank you so much for joining us on a weekend edition. The name of her CD is Anahina. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
You can hear full songs from Natasha Atlas's recent release on nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart. Leanne Hansen will be back next week.